Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Galactic World Bridger, and it is the eighth day of the Blue Storm Wave Spell, and it is the Electric Moon, day 17. And so I would say, first of all, we have two pretty stormy passages happening. One is the actual blue storm wave spell, and the other is the third week of our moon, the electric moon. We are traveling through the west, and I often explain that that week is named the week of transformation. So within every 28-day moon, we have 4 weeks. They're each set in one of the four cardinal directions and are associated with certain processes that happen there that are consistent through all of the Mayan calendar days, whether it's the 13 moon year or the Zolk'in. Whenever we have a red, something that has the quality of being red, then that's the east, the place of fire and initiation. And if it's white, it's going to be the north, the place of air, spirit, and purification. And if it's in the blue, color blue, it's the west, and it's a place of water and feelings, emotions, and transformation is the process. And then yellow is the south, and it can be called ripening or refining, and it's associated with the body and earth. So when we're in the west, we have this operative word transformation, which can have a lot of, you know, you can perceive transformation a lot of ways. I talked about that a lot last podcast, but it's a time of alchemical change, and I would say upheaval. You know, that fast change feels fierce, so that is an upheaval. Change is an upheaval. Like, upheaval can feel really, really intense, or it can feel moderately so, but the quality of it is that something is really changing in our perspective, is changing in response to it because it's a big change, or it is directing us to change our perspective. Let me say that again. So like the two tonalities of transformation that I'm imagining right now are when there is something outside of us that forces us to respond and we are transformed, or the transformation is outside and it bleeds right into us, taking us with it. Those are subtle differences, but maybe interesting since we're in this time of very, you know, escalating big procedures of intensity and undoing and upheaval. Because the blue storm wave spell, just conceptually, is the unloading of a lot of tension really fast after it has built up and repressed aspects of self or our environment. It's all being shaken loose, but I just think it's such a offloading of energy that it's both consuming and exhausting. And then I'm going to just jump into the blue storm wave spell. I'd like to return to the electric moon, but I just don't think we can ignore the ideology of blue storm and what it demands of us when we go through 13 days. I mean, it's a lot when we go through a blue storm year, which will be the next natural time year starting July 26, 2020. That's a blue storm year, blue lunar storm. That sounds like a nightmare. I have to talk about that too in a minute. So I've just presented some bullet points that I have to address in this podcast. I'm going to talk about next year just lightly, and I'm going to talk about the electric moon. But right now, back to the blue storm wave spell. We have blue storm days, and they have an intensity. But when we get to languish in a 13-day spread of blue storm that isn't just even like a linear experience, like let's have blue storm every day, it's a building and breaking wave of blue storm. So we start with this jolt of entering the blue storm time that has that quality of upheaval. And then now we're so deep in the growth of the wave, or, you know, pitching towards this highest ascent of our blue storm wave, that's intense and a form of upheaval. Being driven toward the sky on the back of a storm, not knowing how we're, you know, going to safely land again. And then there's sort of the aftermath of the blue storm when we reintegrate, you know, all of this transformation changes us. And then we got to kind of wedge our way back into the yellow human wave spell that follows, which I think is a tight squeeze after you've, you know, burst forth and become as big as the sky and as kinetic as fire in the form of lightning and thunderclaps. You've been loud. Then, like, well, let's jam you back into a human body and have 13 days of managing that stress. So this part of the Zolk'in, which is always organized this way, there's always this run of wave spells that I don't mean to be like a negative augurer, like, oh, look out, doom is coming. But it is important to acknowledge that the Zolk'in itself, a 260-day cycle, has its own time in the West. And there's a lot that happens when we move into the heart of the Zolk'in that is the growth of the Zolk'in. The Zolk'in, a 260-day cycle, imitates gestation in the womb, where a human being is created from a seed. And so we ride the 260-day Zolk'in wave of a sort. It's a series of waves. We take that ride, that journey of growth from conception to birth in ourselves, in our life experience. And there are pushes and moments when everything, you know, you sort of start with like this barest seedling of a being, and then it bursts into form and it has growth spurts, and so does our experience within the Zolk'in. So these wave spells, which I articulate, like, I think Red Skywalker doesn't have to seem super challenging. It's just that initiation into an altered state that comes through the Skywalker teaching. That wave spell is kind of the portal to the, is it six that follow? Let me enumerate them again. So it really starts to intensify, works against our human preferences when we have the wave spell of death, White World Bridger, followed by this wave spell of the blue storm, and then the yellow human, and then Red Serpent, which has 10 portal days where we really are grappling with fear, anxiety about our own survival. And then White Mirror, which is an exploration in deep sacrifice. It then changes to Blue Monkey, Yellow Seed, Red Earth, I think White Dog. And so when we get to Blue Monkey, it's sort of like, okay, you know, you're out of the woods, the wooliest part of dedicating yourself to places that the human being tries to avoid. I mean, I don't know if humans try to avoid themselves, i.e. the yellow human wave spell. I just know that for some of us, maybe we have concepts of death that are pretty integrated, and we understand that the necessity of transformation that a storm brings, but then yellow human ends up being our Achilles heel. Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be a human, and you want me to spend 13 days reduced to that? That becomes a struggle. And then Red Serpent, I just think, is it's always about shedding a skin. That's my belief. Shedding a skin like a snake would. that we've outgrown, that no longer allows us to be lithe and move agilely. It's impeding us, and it's old death that we're carrying around. And so we wriggle out of it. So I think that there's no way to not experience Red Serpent as having some of this paralyzing recognition that we need to lose things that don't serve us anymore. And there are a lot of other things about Red Serpent. It's just the very base part of our experience as a living being that takes us back to the appetites of hunger and the defense structure of fear. And so, you know, it always invites a lot of admitting that we have charged anxiety. And then, you know, white mirror could be exultant, but you kind of have to work for it by like embracing an egoless life where you understand sacrifice as holiness. Which takes me back, this is where I want to come back around, to Blue Storm and where I'm at as the Blue Storm person who has a certain authority, not over you, but maybe within this time, it's my homeland. I want to just say that I think living as a human being on Earth in this moment with any kind of sensitivity or empathy or both makes it's a prevalent awareness that the human experience is coming to a conclusion that looks like self-destruction and that it's in our sight line. And again, I'm just not trying to go into the drama of like making this a political discussion about climate change, but I am talking about climate change, and I'm talking about it as a result of too much human overpopulation and pollution and sort of abuse of the riches of what the earth offers us. So with all of that coming to this extreme confrontational moment, a crossing in our own evolution, like I can't really wake to a new day with a full release of freedom, like joy. I wake up feeling like, okay, I hope to have a great day, but there is so much heaviness in the energy field as people come into consciousness of what we have done to impede our own like future, our future, the species' future. And then, you know, lots of people have been so sensitive, but there hasn't been this uniformity of media, i.e. social media, i.e. global media, or the universality of everyone knowing whatever they need to know and being encouraged to know a lot all the time. Like that wasn't in the 70s when we were worried about pollution and everything else. Now everything's at this fever pitch where you can learn every minute of the day another horror that has happened to an animal species or to like a realm of the ocean. Like it's not just our humanity that we're afraid of, but it's already happening to other species and parts of the environment. And like, you know, get me with when big bears are really skinny because they have nothing to eat. Like that really upsets me. And I don't forget that. I wake the next day, maybe not thinking of a bear, but the morning that happened when I saw the bear, you know, the skinny bear staring out at me from some kind of, you know, it's an online newspaper experience full of sad facts. And I retain that sadness. I don't shake it off and go, it's a new day. It's a beautiful day in paradise. I go, oh, it is sunny and beautiful, but there's so much suffering in this world. So that's my Blue Storm epiphany here at my touchstone time. It doesn't have to be your truth. I actually feel very alone in this, or I wouldn't be talking about it, but I know I'm not alone. I just think that it's a very typical reaction when you get overwhelmed to just want to be alone, try to, you know, pare it down to just my own experience. So I am very isolated with these feelings of wretched disappointment. You know, it is despair, but it's also this like gosh darn it, we didn't pull it off. We didn't learn the lesson in time. You know, and even if we're not as skinny as the bears yet, the bears are so skinny. And we didn't learn the lesson in time for them to be okay. And that's not okay for me. Like, my heart, my soul is too wound up in porousness to be like, that's cool because I'm okay. Like, it's just not working. I just wanted to say that. I hope it fits into natural time, which is also mostly about nature, human nature, and humans in nature, humans engaging with nature, which is sort of the uncivilized part of civilization. You know, humans have the benchmark of being like, we civilized the planet in so many places and spaces, but a lot of us find our freedom and our reverence when we just step right off the asphalt and there's still, you know, there's raw earth. And that's what natural time is about to me. It's a paradigm that's very much like hitting the hiking trail instead of taking the bus or, you know, driving the hot rod. And it's a lesson in how we can treat a calendar as reverent and connect to ancient indigenous peoples and how they created passages of time or portals through it. But it's also as basic as how much of our day is natural, you know, instead of artificial. Okay, I said I had these other bullet points, so let me touch in on them. Let's just start with that really basic one, kind of related to this blue storm moment, which I don't even think I've addressed. I think I'm just surviving here within it. Ugh, there's so much I want to say. Okay, let me just say that next year, blue lunar storm is 52 years, i.e. a complete cycle from 1968. And that matters, I think. I think that we can look at the experience that we're having culturally and feel very enlivened to see that in the Mayan code, 52-year cycles are really important. They are the synthesis, the fusion of the Dzogchen 260 days and the 365-day year, which is the Earth's year of rotation around the sun. So it takes 52 years for the conjoined cycles to be complete, to have every experience of merging the Dzogchen with the 13 moon calendar. And the way that you can best understand that probably is to know that you were born on a day, I'll use mine as an example. I was born on November 23rd, 1968, and it was a blue overtone storm day. And there will not be a blue overtone storm day on my birthday of November 23rd again until I'm 52 years old, which happens in 2020. And so that means that all those days, 52 years times 365 days, we have all these combinations. It's never really synced up and the same or back to the starting point until 52 years have passed. And so I'm turning 52 in the blue lunar storm year, and that's what helps me know, because I was born in 1968, that that big year, 67, 68, 69, 70, you know, it just, the Vietnam War and the Summer of Love and everything else that you want to draw from that incredibly transformative time is having a reiteration right now. And it seems to matter to me that that blue lunar storm, you know, it was a time of really charged, developmentally fascinating, cultural paradigm shifting. It was an epiphany of some kind and a portal that people refer to, the 68. And we're going to have our own version of that redux, and it's coming up. It's a blue storm year. I mean, just the combination of blue storm, which you recognize as having qualities of explosive change, coupled with a lunar year, which is when we identify challenge. Every day we wake up in that year on some level, we're going to be saying, what is my challenge, and getting an answer. That's pretty heavy or thrilling, just both. Okay, so then back to the blue storm wave spell and just really the astrology of it very briefly. Of course, it's all the things I've already said. It's change, it's upheaval. Those are the words I seem comfortable throwing at you, and transformation. But blue storm is also time of returning us to the sun, sunlight. Talked about that last podcast, but just to please give context to whatever form of discomfort you might find yourself in, where things are moving too fast or too chaotically, or, you know, there's a lot of emotions because that's the outpouring of the storm, or, you know, it's exhausting. I've pointed that out. It just takes a toll, or we just might not get a lot done, actually. Blue storm to me is like a breakthrough. Why would we not get a lot done? But I just think sometimes it arises that so much is happening around us that we are slowed down. The point that felt relevant to make again this podcast is about being in the eye of the storm, because that's another place where I feel I've been able to drop in, is just sort of in this protection that's cloistered where nothing is happening compared to the chaos all around me. And we could say the chaos is cultural, like we're just seeing so much rapid fire shifting happening in the cultural discussions, all the different kinds, political and environmental, etc. There's just a lot that's charged and that's becoming, it's coming to light. It's on fire in a way. It's the sort of, it's loud, thunder and lightning. And yet I'm super sleepy and a little embarrassed about it. You know, it's not like a big revelatory blue storm moment for me. I'm not getting a lot done. And I think that could possibly be what it's like being in the eye of the hurricane, that you feel safer and it feels like a victory, that you're not swirling around in the vortex of something that's essentially destructive, so powerful that it can be destructive, but at the same time, kind of like avoiding the draft for the Vietnam War, there are people that have guilt or shame or regret that they actually didn't enter that storm, even though it was so destructive. To sit it out was so comparatively calm that maybe they have sort of this regret and embarrassment that they didn't get into the fray. And I feel that a little at the eye, in the center. In the center of the storm, it's like, well, first of all, I'm not relieved that my life is going so easily or that nothing is happening, because I wish something were happening. But it occurred to me this morning, and I think it's relevant, like, isn't it great that not a lot of terrible things are happening to me right now? So that rather than being like, nothing's going on, I could be like, nothing terrible is going on. But that's just a reference to being in the eye, in the center, where it is more still than in the peripherals, where all the foment is charged, surging. Now, the electric moon, and then we'll see what there's time to explore after. I have said that we're in that blue western week, so it has a lot of the doubling of energy that already exists in blue storm, and you're going to ride that out until Friday when we finalize this moon, which seems to have moved really fast. The fourth week will begin on Friday, and it is going to take us into the physicalized embodiment that comes in the fourth week in the south. But right now, in the blue week in the west, we are, you know, experiencing all of this emotional volatility that's associated with bringing things into physical birth, or physicality itself, which is a kind of birth. And the electric moon is about how we can best be of service. And I think more importantly, I'll revisit something I've said in an earlier podcast, which is, it is a time when the space between ourselves and the challenge that was presented in the lunar moon is eased or filled, supported by the presence of divinity. And here we are on a white galactic World Bridger day, where I think World Bridger really invites depression or depressive feelings in its shadow, because it's like dying. the dead day. This is the day of death, and this is the day where I feel like I'm dying. This is the day when I'm talking about dying and death, and, you know, I'm just, it's like flatlining, that feeling of lifelessness, inert. And that is kind of it's a perfect way to recognize that that doesn't feel very holy. Like, to feel dead or depressed isn't very illuminated. That's not a feeling to me of deep connection to God. To me, a connection to God feels like life force. Like, I love something that is larger than life, and in my loving relationship and connection, I am fed something larger than life, and my life gets very full, full to overspilling. Like, that would be a real time of beautiful, illuminated epiphanies and divine relational connection. Like, that's our best experience of full enlightenment, which is just always fleeting, but it's that moment where you're like, no, I am full to spilling over with God's presence and love, or just call it the universe. And then that's not happening in Blue Storm Wave Spell for me, but it must be happening somehow, because it's the electric moon when God arrives. I'm so sorry for the God word. I just mean this presence, this larger force that is non-human, that is, etheric, comes and it fills in the spaces where we have felt distant and we have felt disconnected. And I am just going back to the sort of pure confessional mode. Like, I feel really distant and disconnected in the Blue Storm Wave Spell. I don't feel good. I'm sad. I'm sad because I want to feel good. It's Blue Storm. It's my place where I come from. I'm back home. I'm in the, like, location that my tribe originates, and I don't feel good. And I was guessing and wanting to share here that, you know, maybe when we're in transformation, sometimes that's all we can think about. It does feel disconnected because we're getting shaken up and thrown around, and we can't fixate on, you know, looking to the sky. The sky's either obscured or it's so charged with the transformative activity that you just can't, like, find the sun, the sunlight, the sun source. But that everything we're going through is designed to get us back to pure connection to the sun source. And in the electric moon, which is a kind of thing that's, it is soothing being in the electric moon versus maybe having the storm wave spell in the lunar moon, where we're already really every day identifying our disconnection or separation, our polarities, which we'll be doing in the blue lunar storm year to come. We'll have that conjunction of lunar and blue storm to deal with. But right now, we're in the electric moon, and there is this filling in of divine essence or reassurance or presence, despite how we can't see the sun through this blue storm maelstrom, or that we can't even figure out which way is heavenward, because we're just being spilled by, you know, the sky's uproarious activity. That's all metaphor, of course, because I haven't seen a raindrop here where I live in months and moons. But it is happening on an ether level or a cultural level, or like what we would call a universal level. It's in the air, and it's uncomfortable. And it, like I said, it obscures how we might be reassured or able to actually have reverence. Perhaps that's true, because that's my experience, and I don't like it. I don't like going through this pure feeling state of discovery that humans have created their own ruination, and we're just sort of like irreversibly heading towards that truth or irreconcilable outcome, even if it takes centuries. Like, just recognizing that and not having divinity, fucked. It's not a good, fun feeling. And I was really dragging my feet about podcasting, because I don't feel like I know where God is right now. But the cool thing about podcasting is that it kind of draws that connection back in. So I'm grateful that I had a reason to talk and talk and talk until I felt better. And thanks for listening. I hope I feel better when I have to stop talking. I don't just revert to feeling bad. I hope that when you're done listening, you find your own parallel experience of being a little uplifted, because the electric moon is designed to recharge us. The electricity is coming from a divine power that is sourcing out its energy to us so we stay afloat, and then we can give that to someone else. Grab my book at resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Rakesh.